Today's shir is Masechta Matzia, Daf Mem Ches. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Mem Zayin on the base, four lines from the bottom, Tanan. We had learned in our previous shurim the machloikis of Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, how Midaraisa a kinyan takes place. Rabbi Yochanan said Midaraisa mos kinyas by putting down even just a deposit for a kinyan that creates a kinyan. But Chazal said that what should be done is Mashiacha, because of the concern, as we have been discussing, that the person should not, the Meicher, should, if the person who's selling whatever he's selling got the deposit, and now Chas V'Shalom, a fire breaks out, he won't have any reason to want to protect and save what's being burnt, because as far as he's concerned, it's already not his, it was sold. Whereas the opinion of Reish Lakish is that Midaraisa mos aren't an effective way of creating a kinyan, you need Mashiach. Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah that if only money was given, the Mishnah said, there's no kinyan. The one who, Kadosh Baruch Hu, who punished the Dor HaMabul, he's going to punish somebody who doesn't keep his word. Says the Gemara, if we'll say that Midaraisa, we have here a valid kinyan, so we understand somebody who violated that deserves to be punished, deserves to be cursed. That's why it's appropriate. Eli Amrit, if we're going to say Mos and his kindness, that a Mos doesn't make a kinyan, so this, nothing happened. And my Kani Ava, why should he be cursed? He didn't do anything wrong. There was no kinyan, why can't he back out? Answers the Gemara, the reason why he's cursed with this Mishapara is Mishum Dvarim. He had given his word, and now by backing out of his word, it's unacceptable, and that's why he deserves the Mishapara. Ask the Gemara, Umi Udvarim, if all that happened was that he just backed out and he didn't, but there was nothing really happened altogether, is that a reason to be cursed with the Mishapara? Fatanya. Rav Shimon, I'm Apish Amr Talos Kaina Dinazov. Vein Dinazov Kaina Talos, as we've been learning, that when we have a commodity, the Talos, and we have a currency, the gold coin. So if somebody does Mashiach in the talis, so we have a full-fledged kinyan, and once we have a full-fledged kinyan, so we understand, that's why the kinyan, by somebody doing Mashiach on the talis, we have a kinyan. But if somebody only took the coin, there is no kinyan. Even though, says Rav Shimon, kach halacha, the halacha is that since there was no kinyan, one could still technically retract. Aval Amru, Chazal say, Misha Parah Ma'anshe Dora Midbar, Ma'anshe Dora Mabel, Ma'anshe Dora Floga, Umi Anshe Stavim V'amayro Mitzrayim Be'yom, all these people got punished. Huasali Parah, he will be punished, Misha En Oimim Medibura, if somebody doesn't keep his word. Furthermore, Have Noisei V'noisim Bedvarim, if somebody says something when they just discuss something but they didn't do a kinyan, like Kana, we don't have a kinyan. And here, the way that we're trying to explain, what he did is not really something to be proud of. So we see that for just violating your word, even though it's so critical that you keep your word, you don't have a Mishapara. So the Gemara's question is as follows. If, according to Reish Lakish, you have to have a Kinyan Mashiach, without a Kinyan Mashiach, as far as the Halacha is concerned, you have nothing. So if you have a Kinyan Mashiach, the Halacha tells us we have nothing here, why would we see when there's no real commitment, even though Ein Ruach HaChom Noichemenu, there shouldn't be a Mishapara? And we're saying that according to Reish Lakish, there is. answers the Gemara. Dvarim v'ikav d'hayu memos, in a situation where there was a commitment, and the commitment was not only there with words, but there also was money, a deposit given. That's when there's a mishnah parah koy ba'avol. Dvarim v'lekav d'hayu memos, but if it was words, just words, and there was no money exchanged. So certainly, according to Reish Lakish, the halacha is that it's very insignificant, and there's no mishapara, but even though there's no mishapara, there is still going to be, even though there is no mishapara, it's still ein ruach hachamim nechemenu. When we speak about the mishapara, and the Bryce just mentioned the entire wording of what we say, why do we mention all these people? So the Achidar Hamabo, the Rosh explains, we know were people who were very dishonest, and they stole and weren't honest. The Dor HaFlaga, which was very close in historical proximity to the Dor HaMabul, are mentioned together. Mitzrayim also is an example, says the Rosh, of people who didn't keep the word. Because Mitzrayim kept on, the Paro in the Mitzrayim said, that kept on saying that they will release Klal Yisrael, and they didn't. The Miri explains that the Anshei Dor HaMabul and the Anshei Dor HaFlaga and Anshidara Mabel are very similar. They stole one from other, and as the Gemara and Rashi says this in Chumash, they did it in a clever way that they should not be held responsible. And that's why we're learning here that anything dishonest deserves a Mishapara. Dor HaNer says a different approach to this. He says that there are four elements that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world with, and he used every one of those elements to punish people who deserve punishment. The Dor HaMabul, we know, were punished with water. The Dor HaFlaga were punished with wind. And that's what the Pasuk says. Loichen HaRishoyim, Pasuk can tell him, Loichen HaRishoyim Kim Kamoitza Shetfen HaRuach, which refers to the Dor HaFlaga, that they were dispersed. Anshei Sodom was with fire. As the Pasuk says, Himtaleim Geish Gophris Ve'esh Min HaShemayim. And the Mitzrim were drowned in the sea. As the Pasuk says, Tevleim Ha'oretz, which is the earth. So all four elements that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has created in this world are what were used to punish people, were used to punish these people. And the Gemara is saying that somebody who doesn't keep his word is punished that way. So, As we learn now, it's so critical, the Gemara says to keep your word. The Gemara did have a nafgamina, if it's there's going to be a mishapara, or just ein ruach hacham neichimenu. But as far as we're concerned, it certainly teaches us that you have to keep your word. The Shas Tshuvas Chelkus Yaakov, Eire Chaim Simchav Dalad, discusses a situation that Reuven had told Shimon, I'm going to visit you. And it was something that Shimon was very excited about, because apparently Reuven is a very important person, and Shimon was having many guests. And by Reuven coming to visit Shimon, when all those people were there, it would bring great honor to Shimon. But what happened was, there was a bris milah at that time, and the halacha is that if you're invited to a bris milah, you're supposed to go, and that's why the minig is that we don't expressly invite people to bris milah, because then they can't decline from coming. What should this person do? On one hand, he gave his word he's going to visit. On the other hand, we have a bris milah. Says the Chelkus Yaakov that certainly he should keep his word and do the visit. And he uses an interesting raya. He says, the Ramah says that if you come to bris milah, which we just explained how important it is to participate in a bris milah, if the people who are attending that this bris milah are people who are not people that you should be associated with, you shouldn't stay for the bris milah. And if our Gemara just taught us how critical it is to keep your word, so that too is certainly a fair reason not to miss keeping your word and not going to the bris. Says the Gemara, as we go back to what we began our shiur to discuss the machloikis of
Reish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava Kra, Misnaisen, Misnaisayle Reish Lakish. We both have a Pasuk and a Braisa that support Reish Lakish's opinion. Mikra, what's the Pasuk? The Ksiv. The Pasuk says we know that the Torah speaks about if somebody swears when it comes to Sham Gzelis, if somebody swears falsely regarding money that he owes someone else, and then he admits that he swore falsely, he has to pay back a keren, the principal of what he owes, a chaimish, a fifth on top of it, and bring a carbon asham. The Tariq Dosha says, in describing this, the kichesh ba'misa b'pid kader b'chumas yad b'gezel o'ishik as a misai. Chumas yad refers to a halva, to a loan. Vam Rav Chizda, Rav Chizda says, k'goin, shiyich alay k'li la'avosai. The loiva had designated a keli or whatever to be used to pay up his debt, and then the loiva swears falsely that he doesn't, and then he admits. That's the only case where you're going to be chayiv a carbon shuas abikadim. This is the way Rashi and Tosfos learn the Gemara. The Ramban seems to have a different pshat. If to have shuas abikadim, you have to have yichud keli. But we're going to learn like Rashi and Tosfos. Oshak, what does that speak about? Farma Chizda, kigon shiyich loy keli laoshkai. A person owed a worker money, and he designated something from which the worker will be able to collect his salary. And again, we have the situation where he swears falsely that he doesn't owe it, and then he admits. And then the Pasuk says, the Pasuk, ki ahadri kra, when the Pasuk tells us about their obligation for admitting that they did wrong and what they have to do. The Torah Kedoshah says, V'hoyu ki yechta v'osham, v'esh v'zegzeil asha gozol, o'y sha'osek asha oshak, o'y sebekon asha hefkin itoy. The Tzul Nesiyodoy, when the Torah comes back to what was mentioned, the Torah doesn't speak about halva. Now the question is, Tzul Nesiyodoy lo yahadre, why didn't the Torah speak about the case when he admits about the loan? My time alav, Mishun de Mechesu Mashicha. Since there was no Mashicha, so it's not considered that it became the Malva. And since it's not considered that there was a Malva, it became the Malvas, that's why the Halacha doesn't apply. What do we see from here? Suggests the Gemara. If Ma's kindness, if the fact that I owe you the money is enough to make a Kinyan, so then the fact that I didn't designate a Keli should be immaterial. The need for the Torah to say that we have to designate a keli and is a proof that Mas itself is not koina. Ask the Gemara. Amle Rav Papa L'Rava Ema. How can we say, maybe we could say that even Mas are koinas. Maishik, when we speak about the case with the worker, who the Hadra Kra, there too, he didn't have ownership. Hachem Maiskinen. So the question is, even according to Reish Lakish, where's the Mashicha? It must be Hachem Maiskinen, Shnat L'Memenu, that the worker had taken the keli, and then he asked his employer the Chazer of Efkida Etzlai. So that's why he's Chayiv. Shumas Yad is talking about a case where there was no Mashicha. So we see from here that there has to be a Mashicha. Says the Gemara, if it's speaking about a case that he took by the worker, Oishik Scha Socher, that he took the keli for payment and then asked the employer to hold on to it. So then that's the same thing as Bikadim, so that I have something which belongs to me. I asked you to watch it. And then if you deny it, so why does it have to be mentioned? It says the Gemara, Trey Gavni Bikadim. The Torah is coming to teach us two cases of Bikadim. It says the Gemara, if that's the way you're explaining the Pasuk, why don't we say that the case of Halva is also where the loiva gave the malva something for payment, so it was a Mashicha, and then the look not lohimenu, that the malva the Mashicha, the chazav hefkida etzloi, and then he asked, and then he let the loiva have it back. Says the Gemara, he had recro, if that's what the Torah would have done, so then loy ti'ufta v'loy siyata. We haven't have a raya to the machlokes of Reish Lakish and Reb Yochanan. He'll say, Reish Lakish will say, we're talking about a case where there's Mashiach. And Reb Yochanan will say, it's speaking about a case where there was Mashiach. Hashta, but now that the Pasuk spoke about all these cases, for I had Rekra, and didn't speak about Halva again, why did the Torah not speak about Halva again when it speaks about paying back as it did with all the other cases? Because the Torah wants the Messiah, wants to prove that the Halach is like Reish Lakish, that you have to have Mashiachas, says the Gemara. But this entire conversation has been based on the fact that Shumas Yadloi had recorded, that the Torah doesn't repeat it. But ask the Gemara, is that true? But Tanya, Amram Shimon Menayin Litin Sa'amel Lamal Lamata, how do we know that all the Halachas that were mentioned in the Pasuk at the beginning apply even by the Pasuk that at the end, the Ksiv, the Torah says those words. Rav Nachman, Rabbis, Shumas Yad Leishavin. So we see that it's speaking about Shumas Yad, and we see that it's treated the same. So we see that you don't have to have a Mashiach. Answers the Gemara, the Raya, Rav is being, is why did the other cases did the Torah see fit to repeat? And this, the Torah didn't see fit to repeat. The Hedya Me'i Eloya Hadrakra. The Torah did not explicitly repeat it for a reason. To tell us, because you have to have Mashiach. Says the Gemara of Masnissen Menolot, why do we see from the Braisa that the Halacha is that, like Reish Lakish, that you have to have Mashiach with the Raisa, the Tanya? The Braisa says, if a person has a coin that belongs to Hegdish, or Nosno Labalon, and he gives it to the person who's in charge of the bathhouse, he wants to use the bathhouse. As soon as he gives the coin mall, Vamarav, Dafka Balan, only in this case is it considered that you did, that you are considered that you were mild behegdish. There is nothing to do Mashiach on. If I go to the bathhouse and I pay my payment, there's nothing more, there's no Mashiach. Avo midachrita, where Mashiach is able to be done, the mechesher mashicha, and if it was no mashicha, loy mal ad mashach. It's not considered, says the Brice, an act of meila until there was an actual mashicha. Ask the Gemara, how could we say that if you could have done mashicha, there is no mashicha until you did it. There's no meila until you did the mashicha. But Tanya, the Brice says, nosna l'saper. If you gave a coin of hegdish to the barber mall. Sapper, says the Gemara, Boilam Mishuk Tespiris. There's what to do Mashiach on the scissor or whatever else. So we see that even though Mashiach is doable, it's still considered Meila, even though there was no Mashiach. Answers the Gemara, that price is not a question, because Hochem Ma'iskin and that price is referring to Sapper Nochri, a non-Jewish barber, that non-Jews Labra Mashiach, who are not in the category of Mashiach. It says the Gemara Tanya Nami Hochi, Nosn Lasaper or Lasapin or Kobalimunis. If you gave a coin that belongs to Hegdish to any of these professionals, Loimol Ad Mashiach. There is no Me'ila until you actually do Mashiach. And now ask the Gemara, which the Gemara already has answered, Kashin Hadodi. Don't we have here a Stira? The first Brisa seems to say that you don't need to do Mashiach to violate Mila. The second Brisa says you have to do Mashiach to violate Mila. Alav Shema Mino. How do we reconcile these two Brises? Kan Besafa Nochri, where Mashiach is not an option, so as soon as you give him the Hegdish coin, you did Mila. Kan Besafa Yisrael, where Mashiach is doable, there it's not considered Mila until you did the Mashiach Shema Mino. It says the Gemara Ken Amar Rav Nachman, Dva Torah, mid the Raisa, Mos Koinus, like Rabbi Yochanan said. And Halacha L'maisa, the Rambam and the Rosh and Tosfos, Paskin, like Rabbi Yochanan, that Mina Torah, Mos Koinus. Mos alone will be enough. And that is the way the Shulchan Aruch and Paskins as way. Because they all Paskin, that mid the Raisa, Mashiach, Mos Koinus, or everything that we learned here is only that we need Mashiach is only with Rabbanan. And moreover, the halacha typically is like Rabbi Yochanan. However, there are Rishonim that disagree, and they say that the halacha is actually, as we, the Gemara attempted to say now, that it's that mas einan kodesh. Actually, however, when we have this discussion, the question is it really so relevant? Because why is it that relevant? Because everybody agrees, as we started the shiur, even Rabbi Yochanan, you have to do Mashiach. So Rashi says, what will be the nafkamina? The nafkamina will be, if somebody gave, somebody just received money to affect the kinyan, and the actual, that means there was only currency exchanged, but not commodity. According to Rav Shlokish, what was done now is meaningless. According to Rabbi Yochanan, but the rice, it's fine. So now if somebody would take that money that he received in this fashion and use it to be Mekadosh and Isha. According to Rabbi Yochanan, the Midaraisa Mos Koinus, the money really belongs to the Meicher. And if he uses that money to marry a woman, it would be a valid Kedushin. According to Rish Lakish, what happened now is halachically meaningless. And this money doesn't belong to the Meicher. And if the money doesn't belong to the Meicher, then the money, in order for Kedushin, of course, to be a valid Kedushin, the money has to belong to the Chassan, and here it doesn't. The Mishnah Melech has a different example. He says, what would be the halacha if the Meicher, after he was paid, gave the object to a woman for Kedushin? In other words, that the object would be used for the Kedushin. According to Rabbi Yochanan, there was a kedushin here, and that object could be used for a kedushin. According to Rish Lakish, they would not be able because it doesn't belong to him. The Chasam Sofer, however, says that the fact that the seller, in other words, and now what would be if the seller used it for a kedushin? According to Rabbi Yochanan, he can't. It's not his anymore. According to Rish Lakish, he can because it still belongs to him. The Chasam Sofer says that even according to Rabbi Yochanan, this cannot be a Kedushin. The fact that the Meicher is using this object for a Kedushin is clearly an indication that this person, doesn't mean to want to have a Kedushin here, to want to have a sale here. How would I use something that I sold for my own purpose? And therefore, even Rabbi Yochanan would agree it's not a valid Kedushin. Says the Gemara, but Levi v'masnisa, Levi was evaluating his brises for Ashkach, and he found the following brisa. Nostan l'sitain, if somebody took a prut of Hegdish and he gave it to a storekeeper, the halach is that mall. So we see just giving money is considered a valid Kedushin. Ask the Gemara, El Kasha Rish Lakish, what will Rish Lakish do with this brisa? Amalek Rish Lakish is going to agree that her mani, that who is the Tana of this brisa, Rav Shimoni. So Taisus asked Avi's question. We just finished learning that according to everybody agrees that Mashiach is only by Yisrael. There is no concept of Mashiach by a guy. So why don't we say, as we said previously, that this price is referring to a case of a Sita in Akum. If it's a Sita in Akum, everybody will agree that Mos are sold. So Tosfos answers that what does the Sitain sell? The Sitain sells wine, and nobody purchased wine from non-Jews because the wine of a non-Jew is not allowed to be drunk, we're not allowed to drink that. And moreover, Tosfos says, the Gemara Masechta of Avodah Zarah teaches us that originally they also made a gzera about oil may not be purchased from an Akum. Then that gzera was not kept because it was a gzera she'en roi v'atzibi chayim lababoy. It was a gzera that most people cannot deal with. But at the beginning, weren't allowed to buy oil from Akum, and that's why the other product that was purchased here was oil that could not have possibly been bought from an Akum. But as we discussed earlier in our shiur, somebody who gave money And even though the kinyan is not a kinyan, but and then he backs out, Aval Amru Misha Para. Itmar Amabaya. So now the question is, how is the Misha Para actually administered? Abaya Amadu Medina Lay. Bezdin notify the people that this is the repercussion for not keeping your word. Rava says it's much sharper. We actually curse him. And I saw that there's a machlokes rishonim. Do we even mention his name? Says the Gemara. Abaya Amadim Medinalei, the Ksiv. Nosb Amcha Leisar. We're not allowed to curse somebody. And therefore, he doesn't accept that we actually curse him. Ask the Miri, the halacha is that we're not allowed to curse. The issa to curse is only with a shame Hashem. Here there's no shame Hashem. So, there are two answers given by the Rishonim. One is by saying Misha Para, the one who punished. So who's the one that punished? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's equal to using Hashem's name. The other pshat that I saw is that even though the Isser, there's still an Isser, even though there's no Malkus, if you don't use the Shem Hashem, but there's certainly still an Isser. Rav Amar, Ma'atim, Nasi Ba'amcha Leisar, only somebody who's Oysa Masa Amcha, but somebody who acts this way is not acting the way a Jew is supposed to act, and then he deserves to be punished. Rav Amnon Minala, from where do I learn? That a direct curse is in order, says the Gemara. Rav Chiya by Yosef, Yavle Zuzi Amilcha. They gave Rav Chiya by Yosef salt, and they didn't make Mashiach. The Soif Yaka Milcha, and then the price of salt went up. Osl Kamed Rav Yochanan, and Rav Chiya by Yosef came to Rav Yochanan, if he could back out of the deal, because now he could get more for what is salt. Amalei Zil Havlu. He said, give them, you have to keep your deal, viloy, because if you will not, kabalach mishapara, you'll be subject to a mishapara. Says the Gemavi, Amr Tadui Medina Lei, if all that's done is that we notify the person, Rav Chiya by Yosef bar Duihi, we have to notify him. Rav Chiya by Yosef was certainly Talmud Chacham. He knew the halacha. It must be that he's going to get cursed. Says the Gemara of Elamai, we're going to actually curse them. Says the Gemara, Rav Chiya by Yosef, Osla Kabul, Leitusud Rabbanon. Was Rav Chiya by Yosef coming to say that I know I'm not allowed to retract, I know I'm going to get a klola, and now I'm asking if I'm allowed to do it? Rav Chiya by Yosef, a Ravan Ervan Hudiyavale. All that he gave, all that he received, and that's going to be the next sugi we're going to learn in a moment, is a down payment. And the question is, who suffer? The question is, when you take a down payment, so the down payment is only equal to some part of what the transaction is about. So the question is, when you have to keep that word, is it for the entire amount that you got the down payment, or is it only for the amount equal to the value of the down payment? Whosoever connect to koina, and he only has to keep his word equal to the amount of the value of the down payment that he received. No, that when you get a down payment, you have to keep the entire deal. So I've sort of Rishonim asked the question, even if we'll say that, like Rav Chiya by Yosef thought, that you only have to keep the deal is only equal to the amount that the down payment is equal. But we started the shiur today speaking about Mechusrei Amona. Isn't this clearly a case of Mechusrei Amona? So the Rishonim, the Ritva, wants to suggest that there is no concept of Mechusrei Amona when it's just words. It's one pshat. Another pshat that I saw is that, yes, you have to keep your word, but if there's a strong reason why you don't have to keep your word, then the halacha is that then there's no Mechusrei Amona. Rava's opinion, as we just said, is late matin and late. The question is, who does the cursing? Rosh's opinion, the Rambam's opinion, is that the Dayanim administer the curse. Other Rishonim say that the person who was wrong is the one administers the curse. That the Sefer Tzedek Mishpat, quotes the Sefer Mata Mishnah, Mata Shimon. If there's a machlokes, if a Mishapora is in order or not. So he says, we have a concept of Kimlei. And if there's opinions in the Halacha that this is not a case of Mishapora, he could say that that I hold that this is not a case of Mishapora, and I will not be held responsible. The question also is that, what is the halacha if somebody curses somebody? So here we just learned in the Gemara, you're not allowed to curse anybody. But what about if somebody cursed you? Are you allowed to curse them back? So the Poskim say that technically you're allowed to curse them back, but that's what we say every day in the Shemoneh Esrei, at the end of the Shemoneh Esrei, for the Mekalalei Nafshi Sidon. And we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that even though technically we're allowed to curse back, we should have the strength not to curse back. The Masham, Chelek Aleph Siman Mem, has an interesting tshuva where a father and a son did a business together, and the father had backed out of something that he wasn't allowed to back out of. Can the son create a Mishapara? And it's very much connected to what we just discussed. Certainly, if it's just Idea Medina Lay, certainly it was just inform the person that this is a case of Mishapara, so that there's no problem. He's not cursing his father. He's just notifying his father. His father's just being notified. But if it's a question of actually cursing, and moreover, according to Rishonim, that not only is it cursing, but it's not the Bezdin that curses. It's the people that were wrong that cursed. A son, of course, is never allowed to curse. And therefore, if a son is not allowed to curse a father, even though maybe the father did something for which he would be deserving a Mishapara, it can't be done here. Another interesting point that the Paiskim discuss is, what is the purpose of the Mishapara? Is the purpose of the Mishapara is that even though we have a deal here, but the way we will be able to retract the deal is by receiving a Mishapara? Or is the purpose of a Mishapara to encourage a person not to back out of the deal? And I saw the Rav Zolti, Rav Tzal Zolti Zatzal, says, what would be the nafkamina? The nafkamina is that if a father entered into a transaction, and now the father, before the transaction could be consummated, the father passed away. And now, after the father passed away, Is it the obligation of the children to keep the deal that their father went into? So, and if not, will there be a Mishapara? If the Mishapara is needed to undo the deal, so the children inherited the father's deal, and if they want to back out of the deal, the halacha only gives us one way of backing out of the deal. That's through a Mishapara. And the children would have to take on the Mishapara. If, however, the Mishapara is only to encourage people to do what's right, so the father who had entered the deal, he is the person that we should be encouraging to do what's right. The children never entered into this deal, so there's maybe no need to encourage them. Itmar. So as we said, the Gemara now, as we continue discussing these halachas of cursing, there are many interesting questions that are discussed. What is the halacha if a person is a terrible rasha? And the question is, are you allowed to curse him? We know that we say yamach shmoi. So then Paiskim that suggests that you're allowed to curse such a person. The Michas Chinuch says that there's Issed Rabbanan even to curse a rasha. The Michas Yitzchak and many others disagree with that Minchas Chinuch, and I saw that the Shaalos HaTshuvos Mishnah Halachos wants to differentiate how you curse such a person. If you say Yimach Shemoi, that he says, unless it's a glaring case, may be inappropriate. Saying Shem Rishoyim Yirkov is perhaps the more appropriate way of speaking about such a person. Itmar, Irovin, so as we said, if somebody gave a down payment, Rav Aimer Kenegdu Kana, you only owe, as far as the deal being concerned, it's only
the amount equal to that down payment. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Keneged Kula Yikana, that's considered the whole pot. And I saw that the Sheilas Tshuvas Pri Yitzchak explains this machloikis, that it's connected to the machloikis that we've been discussing between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. According to Rabbi Yochanan, that says that the halacha is that mos kainis. So since mos kainis, that even if you just gave a down payment, you have a full-fledged kinyan. Whereas if you hold that, as we've been learning, like Rish Lakish, that mos are not kaina, and the only thing that affects a kinyan is mishicha, if that is the case, so then here it's only an issue of a mishapara, and therefore you only have a mishapara equal to the amount of the down payment. Meisvei asked the Gemara, the Brisa says, "Anoisin arov lechaveroi v'amaloi." Somebody gives a down payment, and he says, "Im ani chayzeba, if I will go back on the deal, avori machalach, you could keep the down payment." V'la emel, and the seller tells the buyer, "Emani achzebai, if I want to back out, echbalach arvaynach, I will give you." Double the value of the down payment, says the Gemara. Niskay matanoim. We have to follow these stipulations. Divrei Reb Yosi. That is the opinion of Reb Yosi. Reb Yosi Tamei. Why does Reb Yosi say this? Because there's a concept throughout halacha of an asmachta. An asmachta is when somebody says, "I'm going to do something," and he only said it because he was confident that he's going to be able to do it. A person says, if it doesn't happen, he takes upon himself a huge fine. Asmachta kanya, even though the only reason he took this upon himself because he was confident that he was saying is going to happen, he wasn't worried. You only have to give as equal to the down payment because he holds asmachta like kanya. Amar Shim Gamliel, ma dvar amurim bezman shem oimiloi. When is the halacha that as much as the equal of the payment, that's how you have to give, is when he used the word arvoni yikin. Ava machal abayis asod be'al zuz. And you sell a house for $1,000. Or parl mehem chamesh zuz. And then you only gave 500. Kana. So the entire property becomes yours. Or machal ayis ashar. And then you pay the difference of filach kamishonim. So we see that everybody agrees that if you use the words arvoni yikoin, it becomes a full-fledged sale. My laugh, huadin l'metaltlin, that the same thing is not only by karka, but even by karka, the mestama kana lekula. If you give a down payment, it's equal to the entire amount. Loi. Metaltlin, mestama loikoni. With metaltlin, unless it was stipulated, just the down payment doesn't mean you own the whole thing. Or maishna. Why is there a difference between karka and metaltlin? Says the Gemara, karkin, the bekaspa konalei mamish, karka with kesef affects a kinyan. So by giving this down payment, konalei lekula, become a full-fledged owner. However, metaltlei, the lekane el kabulim shapara, metaltlin, as we've been learning throughout our shiurim, kesef does not create a kinyan. All that it does is makes a obligation for Mishapara, so that's why it doesn't create that you should be completely that kesef should give you a full-fledged ownership. Says the Gemara Lemeka Tanoi. Perhaps this is connected to Machloikas Tanoim. Hamavas Chaver El Mashkin. If you lend money and there's and a Mashkin was given from the Loiva to the Malva, and then Niknas Shemitah. We know when the Shemitah year comes, all loans are cancelled. Apish and Shavala Plag. Even though the mashkin is only worth 50% of the loan, ain't a mishamit. It still, once there was a mashkin given, this loan is not canceled by Shemitah. Divrei Rav Shimon Gamliel. Yudah Nasi Emer, ima ya mashkin keneged alvasai, if the mashkin is equal to the loan, ain't a mishamit, vim lav mishamit. My ain't a mishamit. So first the Gemara says, what does Rav Shimon Gamliel say? The covenant of Rav Shimon Gamliel, that the loan is not canceled. Ilay mekenegdoi, according to the amount that was given. Mechal Rabbi Yehuda Nasi Savar. That doesn't mean that Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is lahach pal genami mishamet. But we know that that's not true. El mashkin namalei lamali. So what's the point of the mashkin? Elav shmamina. My ena mishamet dekom Rishim Gamliel.
Ena misham bekuloi. It's only misham equal to the amount that you gave. Even the amount that isn't equivalent to the loan, you also will be protected. And the machlokes will be the machlokes that we are discussing. And therefore, even if you only gave a mashkin that isn't equivalent to the whole loan, it cancels, it protects the loan. And therefore, the mashkin could only protect whatever is equivalent to the whatever the mashkin is worth connected to the loan, to the equivalency of the loan. Loi. Mayanim sham de kar sham gamliel, lahach palgad nukle mashkin. That the part that you have a mashkin. Mechlal, and according to this, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi is going to hold lach palgad nukle mashkin, nami mashamit. It will also cancel. El mashkin de nukad lamali. So the question is, why was he holding on to mashkin if he's not accomplishing? So the Gemara, it's only there, lezuch and drum ba'alma, just to be a good way of remembering what is owed.